Hi, this is Savannah from Team Equalman. On today's show, we have audio from Eric being interviewed on Sprinkled with Hope by hosts Jason and Shane.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.
Welcome to Sprinkle with Hope podcast and your host, Shane. Today, our guest is a 5-time best-selling author and keynote speaker. He's spoken in over 55 countries and reached over 50 million people. He's the number one best-selling author of 5 books on digital leadership and was voted the second most likable author in the world behind Harry Potter's J.K. Rowling. Eric Quellman, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited.
No, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to talk about digital leadership and focus.
Yeah. And for those of you who can see Eric, you can see his amazing green glasses. For those of you who can't or are just listening to this, you're missing out. We love his glasses. So, Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you've gotten into this, what drove you to get into this field?
Yeah, no, and just so I don't leave the audience wanting, not that they're on the edge of their seats, but who knows. But I'll tell you why I wear the green glasses, because I haven't always worn the green glasses. And the reason I'll tell the story is because I do think that all the listeners, we're all living the same movie. We're just different actors and actresses within that movie. And so as I tell my story, and I appreciate you allowing me to tell my story, that it's going to resonate. There's going to be parts that it's not the same as yours, but the theme is the same. And so with a name like Eric Quellman, first initial, last name, it's Equalman. I've been in the digital space now 28 years. So when they hand you that first email address, it's Equalman. And at first, you know, I didn't like it. So like I worked at Yahoo back in the 90s when they were kind of like the Facebook, the Tesla of the day. Uh-huh. And they'd go, hey, we need to get some coffee. Well, Equalman must be super fast. You can go get the coffee. Oh man, we really need to crunch these numbers for Wall Street for Monday for the quarter end. Well, Equalman's probably super strong. Why doesn't he crunch the numbers this weekend? So there's a little bit of that, and I just didn't like it. I was like, I can't believe I'm Equalman. You know, I can't believe this happened to me. And then something happened in Kenya, of all places, that kind of totally judo flip the whole thing. And so a couple weeks before I flew to Kenya, I did a magazine article. Like they interviewed me for a magazine. They wanted to take a picture for the cover. And they said, hey, you got this interesting, like Equalman, like monic, like your email address is Equalman. We thought we'd have some fun with it. Do you mind if you wear some Clark Kent, like Superman glasses? And I go, yeah, let's do it. You know, I'm all for having a good time. Whatever's going to help your readership. And then they go, well, it's our St. Patrick's Day issue. Do you mind if they're bright green? Like, bring it on. Bring it on. Let's do it. And so we do that. I don't think much of it. And then a couple of weeks later, I land in Kenya. I'm going to speak the following morning. And so I was going to adopt a baby cheetah at this rescue shelter, not to take home. My wife would kill me, but just to support the local area.
Yeah.
And on the way over, the lady that I'm with, she kind of goes, hey, you know, the Olympic sprinter Usain Bolt was here a couple days ago and he adopted from the same litter that you're going to adopt from. We filmed him and we'd like to film you and kind of marry it all together to help raise money and awareness for the shelter. I go, yeah, let's do it. That sounds great. And then she pauses and looks at me and goes, but obviously when we're filming, you want to make sure you have your green glasses on. And I kind of look at her. I'm in the middle of Kenya. There's nowhere to get green glasses. I don't wear green glasses around all the time. I looked like a fool walking around wearing green glasses all the time. And that look on her face, I never want to see it again. And so what it did was like as an aha moment for me, and your listeners probably have that. Some of you have had that aha moment, or maybe today's the day that you have that aha moment, that I realized that, hey, this isn't happening to me. This is happening for me. Oh, I can't believe I'm Equalman. Now it's like, I can't believe I'm Equalman. And, you know, just stepping into it, I realized, gosh, why don't I just wear these green glasses? If it helps one more person unlock and unleash their inner superpower, then it's worth it, me wearing these. And so I have to walk in discomfort. I've stepped into it fully, But yeah, it wasn't easy to step into your story. It's uncomfortable to do that, especially when you're wearing bright green glasses. At first, everyone's looking at you, and they still look at you, but it's just like stepping into that discomfort each and every day. It's stepping into your story fully. And it's uncomfortable at first, but it's the most comfortable place that you can live. And so hopefully the audience gets something out of that. I know that it's changed my life completely. And that's just a purview of why I wear the green glasses, but it's also probably a good answer of why I do what I do. And so I, as I mentioned, I've been in the digital space for 27 years. I had no idea that I'd be doing this, writing books and speaking on stage and speaking around the world. When I started out my career, I loved all my jobs. And then all of a sudden it just happened. I wrote a book called Socialnomics, and I got on stage, and I actually, you can probably hear it in this podcast. You'll definitely hear it if we were having a cup of coffee, is that I have a tendency to mumble. And so to help correct that, I took Toastmaster classes, so that I thought I'd ever be on stage, but just that it helped correct my interpersonal communication. And I still have a tendency to slip into it. But that training, then I was the head of marketing at Travelzoo, and we took that company from private to public. The CEO of Travelzoo is an amazing guy, and he's German. He's also very introverted. And so English isn't his first language. He's introverted. And so as the head of marketing, all of a sudden I was pushed out there to talk to Wall Street, to talk to the press. And so it trained me, and I didn't know that that training, once the book Socialnomics published, the publisher said, we need you to speak at this book expo, this huge like book event. I didn't know what it was. And so I got there and gave a speech about Socialnomics. And when I got off the stage, this guy that's an agent, and I didn't even know there's speaker agents, goes, hey, I don't know what you do, but you should speak for a living. I go, you get paid to do that? He's like, yeah. I go, well, that's win-win. You can reach more people and then and help as many people as possible and get paid. That sounds great. But I didn't quit my day job right away. I kind of straddled it. We can talk into that a little bit. But that's how I wound up here. It's a long, long story, but hopefully everyone got a little bit out of it.
I do love your story. And I think, you know, kind of what you were talking about, I love that idea that, you know, yeah, you're wearing these green glasses and yeah, it's a little, you know, out of your comfort zone, but that's kind of how we have to stretch ourselves, right? Like we, to move forward in life, we have to kind of get outside of that comfort zone. And, you know, you kind of talked about it, you mumble a little bit or whatever, and, you know, and, but you continue to move forward. You're taking the action every day to push through that thing, even if it can hold you up or stop you. So I love that part of your story, that you're just not allowing something as uncomfortable as wearing green glasses or a mumble to just stop you from being the most awesome version of yourself, right?
No, thank you. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like every day's rainbow and unicorns either. Sure. It's just because you'll feel it. You'll feel it come in, creep in, and you're like, my wife's cool with the glasses. And all of a sudden you're going to like this dinner party with some new friends. She's trying to impress. And she goes, do you have to wear the glasses? And she's like, oh, come on, man. And then you go, oh, all right. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it is just kind of be the best version of yourself. And that doesn't mean that every day is perfect. That doesn't mean that there's no self-doubt. There doesn't mean that you have that imposter syndrome. We all experience it. It's like understanding that, have it go through your mind, identify, okay, that's just part of the process. I hear you. Now you're going to leave my mind. You just don't want to live there.
Yeah. So with everything going on right now, Eric, are you able to do any speeches or anything, or are you kind of changing the way that you do your business?
I mean, we changed it because it's fully virtual in terms of speaking. Mm-hmm. And we did sign a deal recently in November so that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel that, okay, there's going to be live events that come back. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky because we own Equal Man Studios, which is an animation studio. And we've done work with even Disney. So Disney, we've done Cartier, you know, Mont Blanc, Oreo. So fun, really good brands. And so we were kind of better positioned than most speakers when it came to going virtual. And we'd done some virtual before, just the world wasn't ready for it. Like before, they'd be like, what? No, we want you on stage. Because we'd be like, I can't be there. I'm already speaking in New York, but I can do it virtual. They're like, no, we're not doing virtual. So it's funny to see it flip. So a lot of people in the industry that I'm in, that speaking industry, conferences, a lot of you out there probably haven't been to a conference. A lot of people think it's going to be the best and the biggest in 2022, because it's going to both have the live and the virtual, that people now will be open. Hey, you know, I can't speak then because I'm going to be in San Francisco, but I'd love to do it virtual for half the price. Yeah, we'll just put you on the big screen. So
yeah, that's awesome.
It plays out. But some other parts of the business, the web properties that we own, like socialnomics.com, the advertising on there increased. We did a lot more partnerships on the animation side. So it's been good, but it's been not, some of the companies we work with, they're blowing it out. You know, I can name them off. They're like, who do you think they would be? We're lower than normal because you get paid more to speak in person, but we're doing fine. And so, but we're looking forward to the live events.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome. I see you got a, is that the stack of books behind you, that your new book that's out?
It is. And that was another blessing, is that we could focus more on the book.
Yeah.
Because I have more time to kind of really, truly launch the book. So it's been nice to see it really helping people. We actually moved it, which is unheard of. This is unheard of in the publishing world. Somebody, I'd written it before the pandemic. I didn't predict the pandemic.
Yeah.
So the pandemic hits and all of a sudden it's like, oh no, the pandemic's hitting. I've got this book we're supposed to be launching. Holy cow. And then people started to email us, to DM us on social. Hey, my friend really needs that book right now because we're all virtual and they don't know what to focus on. They're going to a dark place. Mentally, physically, I'm fine during this pandemic. Mentally, I'm not feeling good. Can you move the book up? So we did the unheard of. And the reason it's unheard of is because you usually launch the books in the fall. And so we moved the books up a couple of months to launch them in the summer just because so many people needed them during the pandemic. So it's been nice to see that it's helping people get through this tough time.
So what is your book title, and tell us a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, it's called The Focus Project. It's how to focus in this unfocused world, or the not so simple art of doing less better. Because especially us living in the United States, it's usually more, more, more. And the reason I went down the path and it's a project was because literally day after day, my head would hit the pillow, my hair would feel like it was on fire. And then the breaking point was like Christmas Eve. This is really Christmas morning. It's like 3 a.m. We're doing a project with a client. It's, and all of our clients are amazing. This one was a little, just we weren't hitting the same stride, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they're taking up all of our time. And it was a little contentious. It was, wasn't a positive, probably for either side. And so we had 6 months left on the contract. And the reason that contract for this particular initiative is built that way is because the first 3 months are going to stink. You're not going to see any movement. It's like if you hire a coach at the gym, like you go work out the first day, like, I didn't see any change. Like, what's up? So we go, hey, this is going to take some time. So we got to go through the pain. Then you'll see the results at the back end. That's why this contract's going to be 6 months. So the, by like the legal standpoint of it, we could hold to the contract, but literally it's like, I get this email, kill the contract. And I'm answering this email in the morning of Christmas. I got young kids and I almost ruined Christmas because they could hear me doing stuff. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to, just in case they have to listen to this. Wink, wink. And I'm like, what am I doing? And it was just all those repetitive days of hair being on fire. And I was enjoying my life, but at the same time I go, gosh, this is crazy. Like I own my company. I own the time if I'm having problems with this. So then I started asking everybody, was the CEO, school teacher? And they're like, yeah, I can't focus. Like I got all this stuff. And then at the end of the day, I like felt like I was running 100 miles an hour and didn't get anywhere. I was focused on the busy, not the big. And so that's why I went down the path of doing a, basically turning a 2-year project just to test all this stuff, to figure out what works, what doesn't, and then put it in the book.
That's awesome. That's great. And I love the idea of, you know, focusing in on what it is that's important or what it is that you really want to accomplish, right? And focus on the right thing. And so I love that idea of just refocusing, and where it's a project, right? It wasn't just a one and done kind of thing or overnight thing. So can you talk about that a little bit more and like how you, you know, what things did you use to help kind of refocus either yourself or your business or whatever it was to get to that focus project?
Yeah. I mean, the reason it was 2 years is because the first year I failed 5 times because I would figure out what's that big rock that has to be there. And for most of us out there, it probably relates. I got to make sure one thing's under control to afford me the ability to kind of do this test. And so that one thing was I needed to be booked speaking. Like that was the main core of our business. And so I go, okay. And normally the speeches come in organically, like they reach out to you. And so I was like, I never really focus on quote unquote sales. And so what if I just focused, it got me excited. I go, what if I just spent a half hour a day focused on sales? Mm-hmm. And I go, let's ratchet it up 2 hours. I took it back to a half hour just because I knew people reading the book could probably afford a half hour. But at first I'm like, what if I spent 2 hours on sales? What would happen in that month? And sure enough, you go back to old habits. And so literally the first time I did it is I spent 17 minutes for the month. I'm supposed to spend 2 hours a day. Because the gravitational pull was to focus on the urgent, not the important. And so literally that happened 5 times. And then finally something, I just said, enough is enough. This is it. Let's make it click. Let's do a half hour. And then I did that. Some days was more than a half hour, but it's just like being persistent each day with that half hour. And then the results were mind-boggling, because if it didn't work, there's no book, there's no project. Because that afforded me the ability to do it. It also proved that I want to do something that I could measure. And that month that I did it, it was not only a record month, it already established a record year for the year just by doing that. And so that's the power of focus. We all know it. Like, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's just a good reminder. How do we get back to it, to focus on the big, not the busy, and know that gravitational pull is always towards the busy.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So this is released. The book is released. Anybody can find it. How is it all over, or how do they find the book?
It's all over. I mean, it's primarily available on Amazon and Audible, Kindle. So however you like to digest it. If you want to hear my voice, I actually did the read. I'm not a professional, as you can tell, for a professional reader. We didn't have someone like James Earl Jones read it. But you'll get a kick out of it, because I always think there's something to the author reading it, because I'll throw stuff in there like, oh man, I don't know about that. That, let's go deeper on this.
Very cool. That's really cool.
So, you know, part of what you do, right, is in the digital field. So how do we deal with this digital era that we're in? And I mean, you've been in it for a long time, so you've kind of seen it change probably more than anybody has, right? Because you've been in that space. But how are we changing as a society to be, you know, more in that digital field or digital world?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I always like sometimes say digital leadership isn't digital. Mm. Meaning that you're not going to be replaced by a robot as a leader, dot, 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 yet.
Yes.
And right. That's going to be a while out there, right? And so one question I get a lot is, what's going to change the next 10 years? And I go, a better question to ask is, what's not going to change? Because that's something we can build a business around. And so if you think about Jeff Bezos at Amazon, 10 years from now, there's not gonna be a customer that comes up to him and goes, hey, Jeff, you know, can I have a little less variety on your site? And can you have it ship slower and a little more expensive? So that's not gonna happen. So you know that they want more variety, they want it cheaper, they want it faster. And so that you can build a business around. Now, for all of our listeners out there, for what we need to do is, you've got to understand that technology changes every second, but human nature never does. So it's that combination of the Jetsons and the Flintstones. And so this year has been a great reminder of it, because I've been talking about digital leadership for now, like the term digital leadership now for 9 years. And it kind of pulled everything forward 5 years to, I always say, look, it doesn't replace the coffees, it doesn't replace the lunches, but when time, distance, and in this year, safety are an issue, this is a way for us to deepen relationships. And that's what it's all about. Life's all about those relationships. So it doesn't matter if it's offline. Again, offline's better for relationship building. But when time, distance, and safety are an issue, this is how you layer in that digital piece. And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. All winners basically remove friction, which means they give us time back. Mm-hmm. And so we'll stick with Amazon. They remove the friction of me going to the store. They remove the friction of me worried about if it doesn't fit, I can send it back. So it removes any friction. That is who is going to win. Duolingo, it's a learning app. It's got 300 million users for languages. It removes the friction because it's just free and it's on my phone. And now I can speak to it and it understands when I'm speaking Spanish. if I said it correctly. So it's just amazing. So we live in the best time ever. There's a lot of downside to some of this stuff, but net, it's a positive. You want to live right now, and tomorrow's going to be even better.
That's such great advice. I really love it, Eric. So awesome. So what things are you most excited about coming up in your world?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you one thing that I've got to get on is that I've written a fiction book, which is really bad, really bad idea. they're easier to write for me than I found out that's been a business book.
Sure.
But here's the deal. Your brand's business. So what are you doing?
Yeah.
But you only live once. And if you've got this idea in your head, someone put it there, you know, so it's there for a reason. Those dreams. And so I'm telling you this because I just got a rejection letter. Like I had an agent is so hard to get, especially in the fiction world. And so when she said no, I'm like, ah, back to square zero. But the good thing is I can rely on, I had hundreds of rejection letters for the first book, Socialnomics, and J.K. Rowling. A lot of these, there's just, you read them, it's crazy, just the rejection that people have. And then they finally break through. So I'm like, all right, I don't know why this is happening for me, but it's happening. Let's do it. We're going to figure it out. So I'm excited to figure out how to attack that piece for sure. And then I'm excited to see what happens here as the world starts to open back up. So I'm really, really excited. I love humans. So I can't wait to give people hopefully a hug.
Yeah.
I'm glad the handshake will hopefully go the way that the dodo bird, because the handshake I always thought was odd anyways. Hopefully we get, my wife's Colombian, so we do more of the side air fake kiss, which is a way better way to greet someone than someone trying to crush your hand or where's that hand just been, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And you said something interesting and that kind of, it kind of sparked, you know, about, I can't remember his name, but the guy that started Starbucks, right? Like how many no's did he get from the bank saying, yeah, we're not going to loan you the money to start it. Now, look at Starbucks is an incredible business and they're everywhere all over the world. And so
yeah, and he's a good example. Howard, in my book, Digital Leader, we highlight him because so he basically founded Starbucks. I mean, not to get into the details, he bought the company, but he basically is the founder of Starbucks. And then he's like, man, I've had my run. I'm going to step down and be chairman. He steps down. And then, you know, the Great Recession hits and Starbucks isn't doing so great. So he goes, I got to come back as CEO. So he comes back as CEO. And the first thing he identifies is like, whoa, the world has changed a lot. Even though I was sitting here in the chairman seat, now that I'm back in the seat, holy smokes. And if you know Starbucks, they are always called the third place. Like you have work, you have home, and then they were the third place. And then he realized, wait, there's a fourth place that we need to act like a digital company. And so basically, they were the impetus and showed the way that every company today, almost every company is a digital company. And Starbucks did that. He started to realize, wait, we got to take payments on mobile. We got to allow them to order on mobile when they get there. And so they took the most mobile payments of any company in the world. And so they were a digital company that just happened to sell coffee. And so, yeah, he's a great example. A little trivia for you. So he went to Northern Michigan University and he's 2 years older than two other famous, he played baseball at Northern Michigan University. And there's two other famous people that are in the sports world that were 2 years behind him and they were roommates and they were the best man of each other in both their weddings. Cause can you guys name those two other sports?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm curious now.
I played for one of them in college.
Huh.
All right, I'll give it away. So it's Coach Tom Izzo, Michigan State's Hall of Fame coach.
He's still
coach
in
the Hall of Fame. And then Steve Mariucci,
who was
the former coach of the 49ers and also the Lions. They stink. I'm a Lions fan.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Very cool. So this has been such an awesome discussion. Eric, Jason and I have come up with what we call the double down dose. Are you ready for this?
I love it. Yeah. I'll turn the tables, ask you guys questions in a second.
Yeah.
Where your focus is.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. How would you define hope?
People. Like I get hope from people every day. Like people go, what inspires you? And it's like, that's why I miss speaking on stage. Because I get to interact with so many people and I'm like, so many stories. so many stories of your listeners. And then you've, the best gift you can give someone is to have them, allow them to tell their story. And so if you, next time you're on a plane, when you're liable, or just when you're sitting down with someone, if you can let them tell your story, it's a gift, but it's also a gift to you, because you're going to be inspired and you're going to have that. I have hope because, gosh, all the people I run into across the world has been amazing. And the other thing that gives me hope is whenever you travel, and blessed to travel, like you guys mentioned, 55 countries, the one thing that's always constant is the playgrounds all are the same. Mm-hmm. And they all sound the same. There's children laughing. And then the parents are all the same. They just want to, they want a happy and safe life. Like 95% of us want a happy and safe life. And so, especially in a social world, that's, I mean, I wrote a book, Socialnomics, is you got to be careful, because sometimes that algorithm might show all the negativity, because that increases your time on the site. It increases a lot of money for those companies. And so that's what gives me hope, is just those playgrounds around the world.
That's awesome. I love that. I totally agree. I think people are, you know, do give us hope, and hope in humanity, hope in love and light and all that other stuff. And so I'm with you on that. So the second part of the double down dose is, what is your definition of love?
Give. Are you selfless? It's the hardest thing. You wake up in the morning, your first thought is, what am I here for? And it should be, when you have a tough day and you get up, it happened to me like this week, like I get up, like, what am I here for? Like, what's going on? Oh, this person has more reviews on Amazon. This person's getting booked more over here. And it's like, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? And then you invert it. And it's funny, because I know this stuff, and then I fall in the trap too.
Sure.
It's like, no, who am I here for? Who am I here for? And so that always, I go back to that, like, who am I here for? It might be my, for me, it's my kids. Like, I always go back, I'm blessed to have two amazing daughters. So it's my wife. It's like, okay, who am I here for? They're there first.
That's your why. I love it. Eric, such a great discussion we've had with you. Thank you so much for your time today. Best wishes to you and your family and in the upcoming things. And I'm also excited to see how the world changes and evolves, and hopefully we can keep up with it.
I love it. If we have time, I'm not going to left off the hook. I want to do my double down with you. But
oh, simple. Yeah. Let's do it.
Go for all it. Right.
So relating to focus, I want you to think, you're going to text yourself 12 months out. Yep. That's weird, but you're actually going to text yourself 12 months out. What's the one thing you'd be disappointed in if you didn't get it done this year?
Very good talk. So I'll start. But
yeah, go ahead, Shane.
I'll say that our focus has been our podcast, and we've really enjoyed that. But for me, my focus is turning more towards helping people like you are. So if in 12 months I'm not doing that, then I would be very disappointed.
Yeah. And I'd like to almost kind of caveat off of that, which is, you know, I want to not only help them find their why, help them find, you know, what is driving them, and help them get past some of these things that are barriers, right? Whether that's fear, or, you know, they're afraid to take, you know, that plunge, you know, and do the thing that they want to do, and that is their desire. So I would just take it that a little bit step further, and that is, you know, not only help them, but help them find what is, you know, what is their focus? What is their drive? Cause I just find when I help people, you know, that, you know, it helps me and it helps them, in that I'm serving them, and, you know, the world is better because we're helping each other.
I love it. I love it. Both very selfless things, which isn't a surprise coming from you two. So thanks for answering that. And hopefully your audience does the same exercise, and then actually print it out. I know that sounds weird, paper, but actually print it out and then just tape that to a high traffic area. Usually it's your bathroom mirror. And just tape that, so it's front and center. Be intentional with what you're trying to do, what you're trying to give back while we're here. So that's awesome.
That is great. So did you have another question? Was that your...
I said it was going to be single down.
Oh, single down. I got you.
I love it. Love it. Yeah. Often we don't get questions. So really appreciate your time today, Eric. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
No, thank you guys. Love it. And reach out anytime. Thanks for what you're doing. Keep being a leader, keep being a light, and love it. Remember, it's not what we take from the world, it's what we leave behind. So you guys know that in spades. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a really great pleasure. And I really do appreciate you asking the question, because sometimes, you know, we do a lot of the question asking. And so it is kind of nice sometimes to, you know, to answer those questions to our audience and help them kind of grasp a little bit about what we feel and believe. So I appreciate that question.
No, you're welcome. I appreciate you guys' time. This is great.
It is great. Thank you so much, Eric.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Super, 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 super you.